Macmillan Audio presents Like a Mighty Army by David Weber. Read for you by Oliver Wyman. Prologue. "So that's about it," Narman Bates murmured, sitting back in his favorite chair and gazing at the neatly printed pages in his hand. He no longer required the cumbersome interface of the written word. As a virtual personality residing in his own pocket universe, he was quite capable of interfacing directly with the artificial intelligence known as Owl, but he'd found he preferred the comforting hominess of the way he'd processed information when he was alive. "Yes," the slender, black-haired, sapphire-eyed individual sitting across the stone table from him agreed. He, or perhaps she, the jury was still out on that issue, was Narman's only regular visitor here on the terrace looking out over the sparkling waters of Eraser Bay. "I believe I could access the locked files, but my analysis suggests a probability on the order of 83% that the effort would activate internal security protocols. In that eventuality, the probability that I might extract at least some usable information before complete data dump would approach 60%, although the amount of data which might be recovered is impossible to estimate. The probability that the files themselves would be destroyed exceeds 97%, however. The probability that security protocols would reconfigure the key's molecular circuitry, rendering any future examination useless, exceeds 99%. Assuming that a civilian Type 1 AI was used to create the locked files and protective safeguards, the probability that I would myself be overwritten and effectively destroyed would be 59%, plus or minus 5%. The probability that my central cortex would survive, albeit with sufficient degradation to preclude self-awareness, would be 72%, plus or minus the same margin. In that case, the probability of personality reintegration would not exceed 37%, although the large number of unknowns precludes refinement of that figure. Assuming that a military Type 1 AI was used to create the locked files, the probability of my destruction would exceed 99%. Narman considered the calm face and equally calm tone and shook his head. Owl's self-awareness had achieved full realization and integration only a few months ago, by the standards of the rest of the universe. By Owl's standards, and his own, far longer than that had passed, and the portly little prince had come to regard the AI as a friend and colleague. Yet there were moments, like this one, when Narman was forcefully reminded that whatever else he might be, Owl was not a flesh-and-blood being. Narman never doubted that the AI was just as calm as he sounded, discussing the virtual certainty of his own destruction, should the decision be to continue the investigation into the Key of Schuler. He glanced at the polished steel paperweight on the table between them, gleaming with reflected sunlight as it rested on the flattened face which marred the perfection of its spherical shape. It wasn't actually there any more than the table itself was, of course, but if he picked it up, weighed it in his hands, or hit himself on the head with it, it would certainly feel real. And there was a part of him which would very much have preferred to throw the actual key into the deep waters of the real Eraser Bay as a permanent gift to its fishy inhabitants. "Which, unfortunately, would be as futile as it is impossible," he reflected. "While the erasure of the key and its contents would be unfortunate," he said out loud, "I imagine we could survive the loss. I feel fairly confident the rest of the Inner Circle would agree with me that losing you would be rather more inconvenient, Owl, on a personal as well as a professional basis. I confess that I do not find that particular probability projection pleasant," Owl acknowledged. "I'm relieved to hear it." Narman's tone was dry, and
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?"